friends, for joining us on the Grace Hour. Excited to be with you and opening the Bible and seeking God's mind. We are a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Jason Moore. I'm here in the studio with Pastor Shibeli. And today we're going to be ending a topic we've been talking about all week on healing. And it's been a fantastic week, friends. And if you get a chance, check out the archives at gracehour.org and join the conversation today at 800-338-7060 is our toll-free number. Or you can also email us at questions@gracehour.org. And you can join us on, of course, YouTube, Facebook, and all those other platforms. But the topic today is going to be the Word of God is our healer. And again, seeing the different aspects of how we've brought up the topic of healing throughout the week has been very encouraging and helpful. So check that out today as you also join us in the studio and online. And we want you to join the conversation. So again, plan to give us a call, 800-338-7060. So Pastor Shibeli, just to kick it off here, I mean, it's been incredible to think how healing is for today and how God is our healer. And maybe I could just kick it off and say, how does the Word of God heal me?
Well, yeah, I want to just address the first thing you said, then I'll get to that.
Sure.
Is healing for today. I always thought the Bible said, Hebrews 13:8-9, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So absolutely, the Word of God is for today, and healing is for today.
Amen.
And there's no doubt about it. And healing comes through the power of God's Word. Hebrews 4:12-13, for the Word of God is alive and sharp and very powerful, okay? More than, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so it goes in, it manifests, it comes in, and it divides, and it goes right into the innermost being of the person. So the Word of God heals. It's a living word, a word with power, a word of the Spirit, and it comes in. And when you get born again, when a person is born again, the Holy Spirit now is attached to the human spirit. Before, we were just a spirit, soul, and body, human spirit controlling the five parts of the soul and the body. When we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes in. Now the Holy Spirit can reign over the human spirit and control the human spirit. And then the soul, the mind, the emotions, the will, the conscience, and the self-image can now be Word of God-centered and spiritually centered. And so he sends his Word to heal us, not just to heal us physically, and that's great. I've been healed physically many times in the Scriptures, and we love that, we know that, we believe that, and God can do that. But what happens if you were always seeking after only physical healing and nothing ever happened to the inward man? Nothing ever happened to the old sin nature? Nothing ever took place in the healing, a spiritual healing at all? It's all about physical healing. And that's interesting. And that seems to be the emphasis that many people have, rather than allowing the Word of God to be that which is a healer of my soul. Gives me a new mind, gives me new affections instead of human emotions, gives me God's will instead of my own will, gives me a conscience that is attached to the truth of who God is, what's right and wrong, and gives me a self-image in Christ. And so this is so key to healing. And when I am receiving from that very Word of God and what it can do in my life, changing my life, and we can see instance after instance in the Scriptures. The woman came to the well, and she needed healing. Well, there was nothing about physical there at all, was there?
Right.
Not at all.
Right.
It was about, I have something here that I'm going to give you that you never thirst again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You never thirst again. And this was key. What she needed was healing. She needed a healing in her life, and it was way beyond just the physical healing. But it was a healing that she would receive a brand new self-image in Christ. She would be a person that was new. And really, this is the key. Because we have an old sin nature. Just read 2 Corinthians 5:17. Read Colossians 3:9-10. Read Ephesians 4, 21 through 25. We have an old sin nature, and God gives us a new person. We become a new person in Christ. And this is really what takes place. So, by the way, God doesn't heal the old sin nature. He crucifies it.
Yes.
That's very important. Everybody's trying to get to the point where they want their old sin nature to be better. Really? So you want to go from anger to anger management, but you want to have anger management through a human ability. Mm. You know, you want to go from being a criminal activity to being an upright citizen, but you're not born again, you're not saved, so there's really no difference there at all. You just went from one side of the tree to the other. There's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, so you went from evil to good, and then some people go from good to evil, but it's the same tree. That's why John the Baptist had a lot of understanding when he said, I need to lay an axe, speaking to religious people, to the root of your tree. This tree's got to come out. This tree is not going to produce life. And so really, we have this amazing power in God's word. And we can see what the word of God can do in a person's life. Just look at the healing that took place in Mark chapter 5. I call it a 3D movie. First of all, he heals the demoniac. Mm. He rids the demoniac of thousands of demons. And the man becomes a preacher, an evangelist. Then he's got the woman there with an issue of blood. And she touches the hem of his garment, and she's healed physically, right? Then he's got this dead girl, Jairus' daughter, and he raises her from the dead. So you see, I call it a 3D healing. There's the demons, there's disease, and there's death, and here comes God himself to just turn everything around. Mm. I think that's so key. And we just think that if we just think that God is only for the healing of the physical body, I mean, isn't it very true that we all die?
It's true.
And isn't it true that the body, it doesn't get better and better? It's going to the grave. Mm. But we're talking about spiritual healing, where the soul is being healed, where we have this new mind, this new affections, this new will, this new conscience, this new self-image, and to live in that, and to have the Word of God do that work. That's the key.
Yeah. You know, just to kind of reiterate, just thinking about how pain is really in our world so acutely, so magnified, and just maybe through loss, maybe through physical pain, maybe through, like you just described, the woman at the well who had a lot of emotional pain,
yes,
a lot of emotional trauma. Mm-hmm. And I think these words can easily be thrown around so frivolously. But when we think about how we put our pain at the feet of Jesus, I think of Luke chapter 7, where the woman washed the feet of Jesus with her hair and with the tears, and she was judged by the people in the room as a sinner, and really, like, she should not even be touched because of who she is. But
yeah,
Jesus saw her. He recognized her pain and understood that she was ministering to him in her pain, in her place of weakness. And then God transformed her, as you said, with a new mind, a new self-image, a new affection. And wouldn't you say, Pastor Belli, sometimes I think healing happens when we let go of our pain, when we take a hold of the Word of God and actually let it be something that's resident and not something that we glance at, but it's something that we feed on. And I just love this. In Luke 7, where he says, do you see the woman? Do you see this woman?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody really saw her. They judged her, like Hannah, when she was pouring out her prayer before God. Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk. He did not see her, but he judged her based on something different, on her pain. But I don't know, pain is one of those things that shows that you're alive, but also God says, pain is also something that I want you to have a purpose to come to me in. So the Word of God is the balm of Gilead for our healing. Amen.
But isn't it true also that, have you noticed that as you get older, there are things that cause pain more so than whenever you were, like, maybe you were like 15, 20 years old, you were running around and doing all kinds of things. You can't do that when you're 70 years old, 75. Some people can't. Of course.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? These things, the body has just so many years, 70 to 80. Anything beyond that is a double blessing. Mm-hmm. Okay. 70, 80. All right. And then beyond that. But of course, there's going to be pain. There's going to be pain. Am I going to let pain control my thinking? See, a lot of people let pain control their thinking rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest his life so the pain doesn't have a preeminence in my life. I don't make decisions based upon my pain. I don't make those kind of evaluations or decisions based upon the pain. It's there. Mm-hmm. I understand that. You know, at 75 years old, I'm not going to run the 100-yard dash today. You know, I know that, and that would cause pain. You know, so I want to stay away from some of those things that might be doing that. Mm-hmm. Okay, but just think about it. You see people that down through the ages in the Bible, and then even in Christianity and in missions, people that really had a lot of problems, and mm-hmm. yet this is something that they were able to endure based upon God himself.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, Pastor Billy, if we don't put our pain in the right place, which is really, as we see in Luke 7, it's at the feet of Jesus, if we hold on to our pain, it can stunt our growth, it can obstruct our spiritual growth, right? And all of a sudden, it's all about, and I believe in therapy in the sense of going to the Word and having God minister to our heart and not just put a Band-Aid on something or numb the pain, right? I think a lot of people, they have this idea that numbing the pain is part of the healing process. But I love what you just said. Like God says, I need to crucify the old man so that you live in the Holy Spirit controlling the human spirit. Can you talk more about that? Like how can the Holy Spirit really control my human spirit? And let's say there's real problems. Let's say there's a bad marriage. Let's say there's a trouble at work. Let's say there's trouble in the family. Like, how can someone realistically live in that?
Well, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. Am I a person that receives the Word of God? Because the Word of God is a healer. The Word of God changes my thinking. So I got a problem in my marriage, okay? Am I going to be thinking about that problem in my marriage, or am I going to think about God's word and its ability and power to sustain me in whatever situation that I am in? That's going to be the key, is my thinking. That's why Jesus, through the scriptures in Isaiah 55, 8-10, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Mm. Therefore, my ways are not your ways. We need to think God's thoughts, Jeremiah 29, 10, and 11. I know the thoughts I think towards you, they are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you hope in the outcome. Mm. So what am I thinking about? If all I ever think about is my pain or my problem, and that's my mindset, and that becomes not only my mindset, but it begins to direct my decision-making, because all I think about is my problem. I think about it all the time. I'm thinking about this pain, this problem, this difficulty, this situation in a relationship, in a marriage, this problem with my finances, all these different things. And that's my mindset. Rather than having a new mind and receiving thoughts that come from God, this is so important. Yeah. How I think. That's why Paul said it. Look at what the Philippians could have been thinking about. The Roman government was controlling the colony. The Greeks were trying to bring in their cultural wisdom. The Jews of the concision, which were legalistic, all right? They had two women trying to divide the church. Okay, there's all kinds of false gospels that were going around. Their apostle is in prison, and their pastor is sick and dying. Hello? You got any situations? Let this mind be in you. Just look at the references in Philippians to the word joy and rejoice. And then look at the references to thinking in the mind. You'll find the 16 or 17 of each of them. So if I'm thinking correctly, I will live in the joy that comes from God and not in all these other things I just mentioned. So they could have a mindset based upon how God thinks, and that produces joy.
Yes.
And the joy of the Lord is your strength. So how am I thinking? Okay? I mean, you got a broken leg. There's going to be pain to it, okay? They got to set the leg, and it might cause some pain. But you know what the saddest thing is today? Because people are so reluctant to experience any little pain at all,
right?
Immediately prescriptions
right.
immediately to the doctor. I know that in some cases, absolutely. But that's the first thing they think about is, can I get to the doctor to get a prescription to relieve me of these headaches, to relieve me of this? They never go, do you go to God first? Mm. Do we come to Jesus and say, Jesus, take away this pain? And I'm not saying that you can't go to a doctor and get a prescription, but why is it that even Christians are so reluctant to come first to the healer?
Yeah, I think of what Jeremiah said, 17:14, healing me, you heal me, saving me, you save me, for you are my praise. I mean, mm-hmm. we could say that God maybe has allowed certain circumstances to to draw us to himself to really deal with the root issues and not to live a superficial Christianity, which can be almost like eclectic, like we take different quotes, we take different... ideologies or different cultural nuances, and that's really our faith. But no, our faith is rooted and grounded in the God of the Bible, who is our healer. I just think about this, like David often said in the Psalms, like, I will bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me, bless his holy mm-hmm. name. Like, and I think you mentioned joy being one of the starting points for healing. I think joy produces hope, or hope may produce joy. Yeah. I think hope, God restores our hope from in the Bible, Psalm 107:20, and we're able to experience healing. So let me ask you this. How does the Word of God heal my past? Let's say someone, using the woman at the well, Jesus identified her past, did not condemn her, but just let her know, hey, listen, I know everything, and I'm not going to disqualify you, but you got to understand who's talking to you, right? And then how does God heal our past? Because our past can really, really damage our present and future if we're not thinking
the
with
word
God.
Again.
Yeah,
forgetting those things that are behind, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Is my mind always on the past? Mm. And it says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is right about now. You can't bring the past into the present; it will destroy the future. This is so important that, in other words, like healing of the past is, once again, thinking correctly with God. If all I'm doing is thinking about what's happened to me, what I've been through, what people did to me, what my physical ability's been like, then I never give a place for God to come in with his thoughts. I give a place to the devil,
mm-hmm.
okay, who always wants to resurrect the past, especially the past that's a sinful past, a past where there's been nothing but problems. And I've got to just say that Paul says, forget. What does forget mean? Forget. It means just simply forget. You know, what am I going to do? Am I going to live in that? Am I going to live in what I'm supposed to forget? No, I cannot.
Yeah, Philippians 3:13, an incredible set of verses there that really we replace our pain with God's word, with God's God's mindset, God's attitude. I think we can be so intoxicated with our own thinking and that we don't even absorb or meditate on what God has said and actually believe it. So trusting in what God has said,
faith
really releases the power of the Word of God in our lives.
Oh, I agree with the Bible, but you mix faith with it.
Right.
You agree with it, yes. Somebody says something to you in a counseling session, or you hear it from the pulpit, or you're studying it, and you read it, you say yes, but do you believe what it says?
Mm.
Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How about this verse? Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Mm-hmm.
I got to mix faith with what God says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, it's very clear. It's very clear. And, you know, what am I looking for anyway? Am I looking for peace, which is harmony in my mind between God's word and God's nature? Or am I looking for an end to a situation or a circumstance? And maybe that's God's will and maybe it's not.
Mm.
I mean, Paul, how many times did he pray that the thorn would be removed? I think it was much more than three even.
Mm.
And he said, he has said, and it means he has said it with a great emphasis. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. I asked him three times, would you remove this? And then Paul, listen to what Paul's emotions were like. I will be glad, I will glory, and I will take pleasure in my infirmity.
Wow.
I'll be glad in it. I'll take pleasure in it, and I'll glory in it. Okay? That's amazing.
Wow.
In my infirmity, God's not taking it away. God's not taking it away. You know, I like what Justin said. I'm going to quote. Here's a quote from Justin, okay? In joy or sorrow, health or pain, my course is onward still. We sow on Burma's barren plain. We reap on Zion's hill. Mm. I mean, he lost a lot of people in his family. I think two or three of his children passed away in Burma. I think he lost one wife. He got married again, lost another wife. I mean, it was incredible, the physical pain he suffered in the prison of Ava. Okay? You say, why? Well, that's between God. I don't know. That's God. You mm-hmm. ask God that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Why do we have to figure out or have to know everything? Why do we have to know everything?
I think that's the natural mind wants to be in control. But you're right. I mean, life makes a whole lot more sense when there's mystery. And I think it's impossible to know everything. You know, I think about healing really is really wholeness. Or I love what you just said about peace. It's harmony with the Word of God in my mind and in my soul. Like, yeah. Unpack that a little bit. Let's say someone suffers from anxiety. Let's say someone has guilt in their life and it produces fear. How do they wrestle that and really have the Word of God have dominance in their life so they don't, they're not having, let's say, panic attacks or they're withdrawing?
Anxiety? You know, here's what the word anxiety is. The word anxiety in the Greek language, merimna, means a mind divided from God's thinking. That's what it means. In other words, so if my mind is divided from God's thinking, of course there's anxiety. But I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Isaiah 26:3. The word stayed is yetzir in the Hebrew. And it means my mind has a pattern of thinking. My mind is on God's mind. His mind is my mind. Perfect peace. Mm-hmm. So how do I get rid of anxiety? I have the peace of God that passes understanding. How do I get rid of fear? Perfect love, what? Cast out fear. Do you realize you're perfectly loved by God? So why fear? Wow. Fear is running away. Fear is running away. But love draws you near. Mm. Okay? So I want to be loved by God. The Holy Spirit, from what my Bible says in Romans 5:5-8, sheds the love of God abroad in your heart. So I just need to let God love me. And that will take care of the fear. For every situation, there's an answer from God.
Yes.
There's an answer in the Word. There's an answer from the Spirit. It's there.
Yes.
But of course, if I am going to say, well, that's good for them, but not for me, and he doesn't know my situation, and you don't know what I'm going through, well, just go through it with God. How about that? How about just going through it with God? I mean, in other words, like maybe things are not going to change. I don't know. Maybe they will change. Maybe things, but God is interested in changing me in the situation, not necessarily always changing the situation.
Yeah.
So some situations cause pain. All right. And what I need to do is take God's thinking in that situation. All right. And maybe it will not change, but God's mind can be how I think. Mm. So I can change. What does the word repentance mean? The word repentance means changing your what? Thinking.
Wow.
The way it's used sometimes in Christianity, people are afraid of that word.
Yes.
But just, metanoia, change of thinking. So I just change my thinking. I have a poor self-image. So I read all about Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2, and I am what I am by the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 15:10, and I let God's thoughts replace those other thoughts, and now I have a self-image in Christ, and I build myself up in the new man, building yourself up in the most holy faith, Jude 20-24. Mm. Really, it's the Word.
Yeah.
It's the Word.
Friends, join the conversation. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for those that are chatting here online. Greetings from Romania. Good to hear from you. Praying for you, Pastor Shabelli. I think Supila had written that there. Thank you so much.
Who's that wrote that?
Supila Ralusa, I believe.
Wow.
Forgive me for if I mispronounced you there. But join the conversation on Facebook and 1-800-338-7060. Pastor Shabelli. Call us. Talk to us. I really want to highlight something you just said. Like, I think we can be in love with our pain so much so that we can be intoxicated by it, where it just controls. And as you said, it can direct our decisions. So So let me ask you this. So when we're thinking about the Word of God, if I don't have a steady diet of the Word of God, if I just glance at it, if I just open it once a month or I go to church once in a while, but it really, like if it's like a doctor would say to you, it took you years to get to this physical ailment.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to take you a season to unravel it if it's even possible physically. But in a spiritual life, we have to do the heart work. We have to spend the time with mm-hmm. God, breaking our alabaster box, you know, in the figuratively speaking, broken before God. And God is going to say, I'm going to make you new. So this idea of the natural man thinking that God is a genie, like, oh, God, we just put him when we need him.
Yeah, pray, but no, answer, you know.
But there has to be investment in a diet of the Word of God. Can you speak to that?
Sure.
Just in regards to our past again, or maybe hope for the present. Like a lot of young people we speak with today, they listen to the news. They kind of wonder, is there going to be something good in my future?
But the Word is God in their future.
Yeah, that's even. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
not a good life, but a God life, right?
Yes, right.
We pray for a good life, but
it depends upon how you evaluate what's good.
Yeah,
and what you think is good, is that based upon social status standards, or is it based upon what God says? Mm. Okay, that's so key. Once again, we always have to go back to how God thinks, and thinking with God. And do you eat more than once a week?
I do.
Oh, okay. How about you, Sebastian? You eat more than once a week? Okay, so what makes me think that if I just look at my Bible once a week, that's sufficient? That can be a start for somebody,
mm-hmm.
okay? If I just hear the Bible preached once a week, you know? And of course, I'm not saying that in a condemning way, because that can be the start for somebody. But I need the Word of God. Mm. Does the devil just attack once a week? Are demons just around only once a week? They're on vacation the rest of the time, right? Just enjoying something. I don't know what it is. No, but it's there, and it's in the flesh. Is the flesh always there? Hmm. Is your flesh only operating once a week? You know. So there's the answer. We need the Word of God, and I think what has happened is, see, what is, if you were the enemy? The enemy's tactics are going to be number one. I'm going to number one change the Word. If I can do that, and he's done that.
Mm.
Okay, number two, after I change it, maybe I'll even steal the Word. So this church has no Word, this Christian has no Bible, no Word of God. So change it, steal it, replace it with something else. You can, you know, people will replace it with even reading devotional books, which are good in themselves, but they're only a supplemental addition to, there's only one book that's inspired. It's the Bible, okay? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And this is so key. So if the enemy can do anything to cause chaos, take the Word out of a Christian. Take the Word out of a church. Take the Word out of a relationship. Take the Word out of a Christian school. Well, I've seen them. I've seen Christian schools that have no emphasis on the Bible. They don't even have a Bible class, you know. They will make reference to God once in a while, per se. But what happened is, in his sophistication, he has used a lot of good things to replace God things.
Wow.
And this is the problem. He doesn't come in with evil right away. He comes in with something good to replace something that's of God.
Mm.
Something that's of God. And he can do that in a personal life. Get me so occupied with a relationship that might be a relationship that even comes from God. But I get so occupied with that relationship, I forget about the Word. And before you know it, that relationship can go in another direction.
Yeah.
And so we need God's mind in a steady way. That's why 2 Timothy 3:14 says, continue in the things you've learned.
Mm.
Do what? Continue. Paul is telling Timothy, don't stop. You continue in the things you've learned and you've been assured of, knowing of whom you learned them from. Okay, continue. 2 Timothy 4:1-5. Preach, teach, and reach.
Mm.
Preach the Word. Teach the Word. Continue. Let this mind be in you. We have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:14-16. So I cannot lay enough emphasis on the importance of God's Word.
Yes.
God's thinking, God's mind, God's thoughts, they produce God's ways. You're not going to get God's ways by some osmosis thing from the Holy Spirit. Did the Holy Spirit write the Bible? 2 Peter 1:19 through 21, yes. 2 Timothy 3:16. So what do you think the Holy Spirit uses to teach, to edify, to build, to heal, to lead, to instruct? The scriptures. He uses the scriptures. But boy, what's happened? I can see, you know, one of the great benefits I see in Africa and the third world. By the way, I hope they don't get technologically advanced. Because with technological advancement can come, now I'm not talking about our program today, but with technological advancement can come a detachment from simply studying the Bible, looking at the Bible, reading the Bible with your children, reading the Bible in a village someplace, you know, having the Word of God. They think the greatest thing on earth is for them to become get technologically advanced, get more computers, get more this and get more of that. You know what? And what will end up happening is if they're not careful, it will take them away. Now we have technological advancements. We're speaking to you.
Sure.
Okay. We have technological advancements right here in the studio, but they're not going to take me away from God's mind. I'm not going to spend every morning or every night sitting in this Grace Hour booth, okay, looking at computers and microphones. No, that's not going to happen. What are they going to do for me? You know, I want to read the Word, study the Word, believe the Word, trust the Word. Think with the Word. And I'm not talking about being some Bible-toting person that just is legalistic and is doing that, but I want the Word to change me.
Yes.
And if the Word changes me, then what comes out of me will help other people to grow.
Yeah, I think this idea of detaching ourselves from the Bible or underestimating what the Bible is in my own life is really important, because the devil is constantly trying to steal. Because just even simply reading the Bible, meditating on the Bible, and then growing in that, it releases the power of God in my life. Because our intake, our intake is so valuable and will change what's on the inside. Let's say something bad has happened, and it's not your fault, but let's say something bad happened, and it is your fault, regardless of where it is. The Holy Spirit can come in and restore, renew, and make brand new again. You know, Pastor Billy, we got a couple of notes here on Facebook I'd like to bring our attention to. Aretta is amening the conversation today. In joy or in sorrow, today or tomorrow, I know my God and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ cares for me. God bless you, your faithful pastors. And I love that, because 1 Peter 5:7, we cast our cares unto the Lord, for he cares for us. You know, my banker doesn't care about me. He cares about my money, right? Or vice versa. It's like, but again, he cares. God cares. And then also Pastor John in Las Vegas. It's just great to hear from Pastor John. Good morning. Just love this idea of having a mindset or pattern of thinking that which equals peace. Good word. I'm driving, so I won't be able to call you. It was great to see you
Where's
in Budapest.
He from?
Las Vegas,
oh,
Pastor
John,
Perkins. Perkins, yeah.
Okay.
Are you going to Tennessee in May, Pastor Schiavelli? Thank you.
I hope
Pastor
so.
Pastor Jason, I'm so glad we have a church that stands up for truth and not afraid to proclaim it.
And by the way, it's not going to get...
It's not going to get easier, that's for sure.
It's not going to get easier or better. Like, you know what, the enemy wants to do everything he can to remove the scriptures. Just think about it. You had a Bible. When I was growing up, when I was in the fifth grade and the sixth grade and whatnot, they read the Bible in the classroom in the school. Now they've removed the Bible. They removed the Bible from just about everything now, anything that's got to do with the government. That's why I don't trust governments that don't have any basis with the scriptures. I'm sorry. You know, where will they end up going? They will end up going into a secular realm, a philosophical realm, a psychological realm. They'll go into into all these different avenues that will not help people at all. Now, I love how one time I was in Africa and there was a convention, and the person that was the president of the country got up and read the Bible, you know? And I thought that was amazing. The president of the country was reading the Bible and talking about the importance of God's Word. So when we think about healing, yes, whether it's the healing of the physical body or most importantly, the healing of the mind, the soul's healing, that it's got to be the scriptures. It's got to be the importance of God's Word, because God's Word heals. And without it, where do we find ourselves? You know, in Bible school tonight, we have Bible class, and everybody is welcome, very welcome, from 6 to 8 o'clock tonight. And then we have a prayer meeting from 8 to 9. But we'll be talking about liberty, spiritual liberty and truth. And that's going to be key. Liberty. What does it mean to be free? When you have the word of God, the Spirit of the Lord makes you free, 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. But you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what?
Set you free.
Set you free. Mm. And I was thinking about this simple phrase on my way down here today. I just kept repeating it in the car. People passing by me must have thought something was wrong. I said, free me, free me, me, free, me, free, free me. Mm. Mm. So I want to be free in my own life. Now, I'm not first here to set other people free, but if I have freedom in my life, then that freedom will come out.
Mm.
Freedom. Freedom. And that comes from the truth of God's word. I'm thinking with God. And so many people try to go after freedom in so many different ways. The freedom of having a great job and being financially free, you know, being free in so many ways, you know. Some people want to be free from a marriage. They want to be free from being single. They want to be free from being married without kids. They want to be free, you know, from their physical body and have no pain at all, you know, and whatnot. But freedom comes from the truth.
Mm.
And if the truth can make you free in any area, fine. That's great. If the truth can set me free from an illness, from anything that's going on in my life, any problem in my soul that's taking place, great.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's supposed to do, you know? And think about how the word healed Peter. It took Peter and made him come from being a denier to the Pentecost preacher. It took the doubting Thomas into a place where he was so secure he would become a missionary to India. Mm. It took a murderer named the Apostle Paul and made him a great preacher and teacher of the Bible. And on it goes through the scripture. It took James and John, sons of thunder, okay, violent tempers, and made them like become the disciples whom Jesus loves. John, the disciple whom Jesus loves. And you can see the change that took place within them.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about any physical healing there. We're talking about the woman at the well. We're talking about different people. We're talking about blind Bartimaeus, who got healed physically and also spiritually speaking. Rich Zacchaeus,
yeah. You know,
the two men on the road to Emmaus, and on it goes throughout the scriptures. You know, Lazarus raised from the dead, physical healing, and I guess he also got he was made alive in his soul, you know, his spirit. So
that's a good point. I mean, the woman at the well, what happened with her? She left her water pot, right? Yeah. One of the most important things in her life, right? And then she went and shared her faith. And so many people today are looking for an experience, but if we simply agree and walk in the truth, then we really experience the power of God. And I love the verses that you're quoting today. 1 John chapter 5 comes to my mind. If you know the Son, you have life. And if you do not know the Son, you do not have life. That Zoe life, that Holy Spirit dominating my human spirit. You know, we're in a day and age that's very dark. And as we move towards the rapture, which is imminent, I think, we have to have a real understanding that without the word of God, I am not grounded. If the foundations be removed, what will the righteous do? If I lose the foundation of the Bible in my life, personally, corporately with my family, and then, of course, with the family of God and the church, if I lose that, we will not be equipped for what will happen to us and for what will happen in our country. We look at our country and we are in great prayer for our nation, just because why? Because we have left that foundation and people are ruling their own spirit outside the Bible. And I love what Proverbs says, he that can control his spirit is he that is better. Through the word than he that can control a city. You know, I think of our young people coming up, and I don't know how this statement will be received, but I think about martyrdom sometimes, and I think, if I'm in the Bible, then God will equip all of us for whatever end we will have.
Sure.
But if I'm not in the Bible, then we will be underdeveloped, we will be unprepared, and then we will, as Proverbs says, we will run in the day of adversity.
Yes.
So last question, Pastor, because these are some excellent thoughts here, and we've got some people
here. A lot of comments.
Seb, do you mind scrolling? We heard Greater Grace Church of Kolkata. Hi, Pastor Shabelli. I'm quoting from Dr. Stephen's booklet, Let God Love You. Can you please elaborate in a practical way, since you mentioned about perfect love casts out
fear? Who is that called?
That's Greater Grace Church of Kolkata.
Calcutta?
K-O-L-K-A-T-A.
K-O-L-T-A.
K-A-T-A. Kolkata, I believe. I believe that's India. Is that, Calcutta, or is that with a C?
Should be Calcutta.
Yeah, Calcutta is with a C, C-A-L. Anyway.
So elaborate about fear and love?
Yeah, how would you elaborate perfect love casting out fear?
Well, can they both exist in a person at the same time? Mm-hmm. Perfect love and fear. Fear makes me run away. By the way, and fear is from the old sin nature. Perfect love is from the new man. Mm-hmm. I need to make decisions in my personal life to live in that which is new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Or am I trying to resurrect the dead? You know, am I trying to resurrect what Jesus crucified? Mm-hmm. Think about three crucifixions. Romans 6:6, the old man is crucified. Galatians 6:14, the world is crucified. And Revelation 12:7 through 12, the devil's been crucified. He's been knocked out at the cross too.
Amen.
So I've got to live in a finished work mentality, which is produced by Jesus Christ's blood and the cross and making me a new person. And the new person will not fear. Mm-hmm. A new person will not fear. The old sin nature fears. Mm-hmm. There's no fear in the new man. There's no fear in the new man. So if I'm living in fear, okay, so how do I avoid that? I need to just continue to be building myself up, to letting God love me, to making decisions to believe the truth that God loves me no matter what's going on in my life, no matter what's happened in my life, no matter what will happen in my life, God's love is towards me as perfect love, teleos love, complete love, perfect love. If you have a chance, you know, when I want to study about fear, you know where I read? 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 5, 3. The word love is mentioned 29 times. Mm. 1 John 4, 7 through 5, 3. And just read about that, and you have so much of the word love in those verses that it will just drive fear away. Perfect love, cast it out. Okay? You want to get rid of the fear how? By just hiding it in the closet? By just not even addressing it at all as fear, or just letting God love you and being a person loved by God. Mm. Peter was afraid, wasn't he? That's why he denied the Lord, right? But when he realized that God loved him, even after the denial, it made a great difference in his life.
Yeah. I mean, Paul said it in 1 Timothy chapter 1, I think 6 and 7, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and a healthy mind, and there's one other.
Love,
power, and a healthy mind.
Yes.
Last question, because
they go together.
Last question, I think a very important question. How does repentance factor into our healing? How does repentance factor into our healing by the word? So how important is repentance, Pastor?
Well, very important, because repentance, if you take it in the base word, means changing your thinking. Mm-hmm. So I got to change my thinking from natural thinking, from old sin nature thinking, from human thinking, from all kinds of thinking. Which is, I used to call it, I preached a message called stinking thinking. It smells. And get it into God's thinking and receiving God's thoughts. It's very basic. It's very, very clear and very precise, but it's very powerful. I've got to think with God, simply thinking with God. Am I going to live in anxiety or am I going to think with God? Am I going to live in doubt? The word doubt means you are standing in two places. Or am I going to stand in one place, the word of God? Right? So I'm going to think with God. I want to think with God. And that comes to reading my Bible, hearing the scriptures, being around people that are Bible-based people, and drawing near to people that love the word of God and have the word of God, and believing it.
Yes.
Believing the Bible. Do I believe it? Not
there
just
it is.
Read it,
yes.
But do I believe it? Do I believe it? And there's so much out there that tries to distract us from God's thinking. And I've got to be focused. In this day and age, as evil waxes worse and worse, 2 Timothy 3:13, the night is far spent, Romans 13:12, and it's not getting better out there. I need to focus more on the Bible. See, what's happening is because there's so much going on out there, people might be distracted and focus less on the Bible when they should be focusing more on the Word and having God's mind. Because evil is not just relaxing. Evil waxes worse and worse. The night is far spent. And it just keeps going and going and going. And not that we're to be afraid of it, but we are to see that God has a remedy for our lives and how to deal with it. And if I don't take God's thoughts on how to have victory over these things, then I'm just left to myself with my own way of thinking, with my own opinions, with other people's opinions, with what the world says, what my friends say, or whatever, and I'm not left with God's thoughts and God's mind. This is important.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, we can be overwhelmed, and there are seasons where we can be overwhelmed and discouraged, but when we get into the Bible, we allow the truth to set us free, and we take our pain to the right place. We take it to the Lord, and we take on His rest. We take on His peace. We take on His healing. And I love what you said early in the broadcast. Maybe my physical situation, my emotional situation, my whatever trial doesn't change, but God is conforming us into His image. Yes. And actually, we actually enjoy God in a difficult situation.
How about Romans 12, 1 and 2? Okay. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. My mind needs to be transformed, to be changed. I need to have God's thoughts all the time. And it doesn't mean just because I've been a Christian since 1976, that's like 47 years ago, that I can all of a sudden think I can rely on that. No, I need to rely on what I ate 47 years ago is not too good today. Okay? If I put it in a place and then try to go back and find it, you know, that food would not be good. It would be, there'd be nothing there. I need to have living word every day. Okay?
Yes.
I need to have living word every day. Job 23, 10 through 12. Okay? This is so key. I esteemed your word more than that which is, doesn't even say food, which is necessary. The word food is added by the translators. He is to esteem the word of God more than that which you think is necessary. Because you and God's thinking and God's mind will take care of the necessary. Those things will happen.
You know? Pastor, somebody might say, oh, this is too easy, you know. But I think that's the mercy of God, right? Because I think with lots of talking and lots of analyzing and self-analysis gives away to paralysis, doesn't it?
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4. Watch out that somebody doesn't beguile you from the simplicity that's
there
in
it
Christ.
Is.
And the word simplicity is a word that means it's single, it's clear, and it's precise. It's single, it's clear. Why would God try to make it complicated for us to have victory, for us to be healed? That would not be the heart of God. Simple faith in what God says. Isn't that what happened with the man? He said, just speak the word, my servant will be healed. You don't even need to come to the house, you know? Like, I'm a man and I have people under me. And I believe you have the authority of the word. Just say it.
Yes.
And he did. The man believed, that centurion believed. It's amazing. He wasn't even like, he wasn't a Jew. He was an outsider from the commonwealth of Israel. And it's incredible. He just simply had faith in God. He had faith in Jesus Christ's word, that you can do this, you know?
Amen. Well, friends, thanks for joining us today. Well, one last comment here. Donna, we're agreeing with you in prayer for her dear cousin, Dwayne, who's a quadriplegic. He's been in a deep induced sleep for days. He doesn't want to be on life support. He has been an inspiration to us all for 40 years as a Christian. We ask God's will to be done. So we are praying and believing with you today, Donna, for that and your family. And friends, thanks for joining us today on the Grace Hour. Just encourage you again, check us out on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, Stitcher. And join us next time. Monday, we're going to have a fresh week of broadcast on a great new theme. And again, we also love hearing from you. Join us this week, this weekend at the church. 6025 Moravia Park Drive. We have an amazing Palm Sunday and the Easter play next week, every night, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, a matinee. Come out to our Easter play and be blessed and have an awesome resurrection week. Amen.
I'm not traveling to Africa. Amen.
Amen. God bless you and have an excellent day.